Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Blackhawks were back on Saturday, and boy, they came out in that first period. That first 13 minutes was unlike a 13 minutes we've seen. I was saying that a couple of postseasons ago, maybe it was even their last postseason, the Blackhawks faced Nashville in a four-game series, Waddle, and they scored three goals the entire postseason. They played four games against the Predators. They were swept. And they scored three goals in all four of those games. We saw four goals in the first period by the Blackhawks. So it's out of the norm, and I texted Mike Tirico when I saw the beginning of the broadcast on NBC, things that I never thought I'd see 5 months ago. And there are many surreal moments that we see along this way. Is Eddie and Mike Tirico, Eddie Olczyk, Mike Tirico, in August, outside the NBC studio in Connecticut, previewing a game in Edmonton.
It's like you thought like they were on a bus going somewhere and it broke down, so they had to just get out of the bus and do a live shot from somewhere, right?
Right, and Eddie's doing the game in Connecticut, and we know how these broadcasts are different. And Mike Tirico, always nice enough to join us. He joins us on the Corona Hotline right now on ESPN 1000. Mike, how's your summer been going? Everybody doing okay?
We are all doing okay. It is great to hear both of your voices, especially you, Sylvie. It's great to connect with you guys. It's been odd and bizarre and different. We all know that. I mean, we're all in our own world. It really honestly, guys, dawned on me a couple of days ago, to be honest. It really hit me. It was the first time in this whole stretch that I kind of just was kind of bumming a little bit. Right now, we should be on day 10 of the Olympics in Tokyo. And we just would have had the 100 meters a day or so ago. But Usain Bolt's been the fastest man in the world for a dozen years. And finally, somebody was going to wrestle that title away. And it just kind of hit me like that. That's the primo assignment I've ever had in my career. And, you know, now it's who knows what the Olympics is going to look like in a year. We're all hopeful, but as we all know now, we don't know anything about anything. So we're all sitting here trying to figure things out. And the last thing, 6 months ago, if you would have asked me what I'd be doing this week, the last thing I would have said is I'm sitting in my room in Connecticut preparing to call the Islanders and Panthers games 2 and 3 from Toronto off a TV with Edzo tomorrow and Wednesday at noon hockey playoff. It's all so different. But I don't know about you guys. It does feel a little bit more like life as we knew it because we're watching basketball and hockey, and there's a major championship this week and whatever the deal is with baseball. At least it feels a little bit different right now.
Mike, aside from the understandable disappointment in not being at the Olympics, are you surprised that we are able to watch playoff hockey and baseball games and the NBA?
A little bit, and you know, it's no pity party for any of us. It's no big deal. You know, we're healthy. We're all here, right? We're lucky to be talking sports, so we all take that as a blessing. But I was a little skeptical of some of these reboots. I was wondering if it was too early. My big concern. I talked to an NFL executive back in May, and I said, "Here's my thing with these restarts and all the testing you're going to have to do. If it's taking away from testing in cities or towns, I think that might become an issue." And it's been talked about a couple of times, but it really seems like the leagues, and they've gone out and contracted their own folks, so they're not taking away from tests for municipalities. And the reason these two bubbles are in Canada and the reason the Blackhawks are out in Edmonton for this whole deal is because Canada got to figure it out and America didn't. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, Canada gave hockey a chance to get these two bubbles going. They certainly would have wanted to split them, one in the U.S., one in Canada, but here we are, and, you know, thankful for it because it's been fun to wake up and start watching hockey for you guys at 11 o'clock in the morning here today and for the next couple of days.
Yeah, Mike, what you said about watching sports, that it feels a little more like normal. There have been a lot of people who have tweeted or wrote pieces that, hey, I get really depressed when they do a wide shot of the arena and you see the empty seats. Like, I get that. I understand how someone could have that. My view has been the opposite. When I'm sitting in front of my TV and I'll be in my family room, like it's one of those wonderful sports nights where I'll have the Cubs on, the White Sox on, and I'll have the Hawks on. And I'm looking at the positive that I get it. Fans in the stands would be awesome, but just the fact that they're putting on these games and they're doing it so far successfully, to me, is a huge feat.
Couldn't agree with you more, pal. Right, hey, look, here's the real. We may want to complain about it. We may want to not face it. The reality is, it's going to be years, and I mean years, before we go back to the way life was. It just is. So full venues with fans, crowds cheering, all that stuff. Of course you want that. I just applaud the athletes, the coaches, the leagues that have put all this together. And to see the document of all the things that they're going through with the NHL guys, and I'm sure the NBA is doing the same thing. I just don't have access to that, but I do have access to the hockey stuff since we're covering it. I mean, it's incredible. And they announced today 7,000 some odd tests have been done since they've been in the bubble, and not one positive test. That took incredible discipline from the players, incredible order, 7,013 COVID tests, nothing positive. Incredible discipline from the players, the coaches, everybody involved, extraordinary systems to be put in place. So, yeah, do I miss fans cheering in a playoff game? Sure. Do I want to hear the anthem for Game 3 with Chicago-Edmonton, if that was a series, and hear people cheering from, you know, the first notes of the Star-Spangled Banner? Of course. I hope we get back to that someday, but at least we've got hockey. At least we've got games, and I'm very, very, very thankful and appreciative for all of that. Like, I'm sitting here, guys, I'm preparing for a game, and I started, when's the last time I prepared for a game? It was February. It was a Rangers-Bruins February Hockey Day in America game. The last time I put together a chart with heights and weights, I'm like, this is freaking cool. I forgot how to do this, so... I'm just thankful that whatever normalcy back in our lives that we can get at this point.
Mike, obviously the NBA, the NHL, they've had a bit of an advantage with regard to making this happen, and I take nothing away from them. I agree with you. I think everyone's done a fantastic job and shown discipline. Knowing that the NFL has a different path, there are more people involved, there isn't a bubble, how likely is it, in your opinion, that the NFL is able to pull this thing off?
It's tough. It's really tough, Tom. So I was wondering how the NFL is going to do this, right? And my first thought, and it's still a concern, was how the guys going to be next to each other in the huddle, contact every play and all that stuff. And then my son's a huge Premier League fan. I love watching soccer now, too, and he's a huge Chelsea fan. So during quarantine, we watched as many matches as we could, and I'm watching it just on them. And you know what? Guys are physically up against each other here. Sure. There's no equipment. They're breathing on each other. And the Premier League went through their whole return to play without players testing positive once the competition started. So the competition did not expose players to the virus from other players. But it's all the stuff that happens before that is obvious. So I don't know the medical answer on the playing side, the competing side. But it's like you said, it's a soft bubble, not a hard bubble. And it's so many people that make football go. And then just the intricacies of the specialty of positions and all that stuff. When you start stacking up all of it out there, it becomes really hard to envision how the NFL is going to pull this off. But at every point that we doubt the NFL, they find a way to come through. And they seem to be going as gung-ho as possible. And you know, you hear Pete Carroll talking about what they're going to do, and New Orleans creating their own bubble that was in the Peter King column. There may be answers here along the way that the NFL figures out to get to the field of play. I think we'll see football at some point. I have my doubts if we're going to be able to make it all the way through. I really do.
Yeah, we know that in baseball it takes one. Like, there are reports about what some Cardinals players have done. When you have 80 guys on a roster, some even have more than that if they elect to go that way.
Yeah.
And that's 32 teams of that many guys, and then support staff. All it takes is a couple to want, they get itchy and scratchy in training camp and they want to get out. I mean, how are we going to – that's what I'm wondering. I mean, what happens if you get a Marlins situation with a football team?
Exactly. And, Sylvie, it's the accidental stuff, too. It is someone's wife brought their child somewhere, and somebody who was playing with their kid had the virus. The kid was asymptomatic and brought it home into the house. But it's that simple. It doesn't necessarily – mean negligence by a player is going to cause an outbreak within a team. It could be completely accident, which is the way most people have contracted the virus, to be candid. So, yeah, you start to put all the numbers together, and everything's got to go right, and all you're doing is adding times this. And we all have done it. You know, you've got your bubble of your family, and then you see your friends, or you see your neighbors, or you see your sister or brother and their family. And all of a sudden, your bubble is multiplied. You start thinking, your bubble multiplies by 20 people just when somebody from your family enters your small, immediate family bubble. So I don't know how football is going to pull that off. I really don't. And then the other part is, okay, is a game going to be canceled, like, on 48 hours' notice? And then where are you going to make that up? That's where the concerns of getting a full NFL season just seem like it's a way, way, way too big mountain to climb at this point.
Mike, financially, every time... Every time I think about sports in general, there is a financial component to it.
Yeah.
And I find myself feeling like we are on the cusp of a catastrophic situation because of the lack of revenue that possibly could be gained from different sports here. And as soon as I'm ready to just kind of throw my hat, you know, to the ground and walk away dejected, Mookie Betts signs a contract as big as he did. So is that going to be the outlier? Are we really, truly, possibly on the cusp of some really difficult change in sports because of the revenue aspect of it?
Well, Tom, I think the Betts thing, I was thinking the same thing. I go, well, here's what happened. You know, MLB has already one TV deal in place, and they've got the TV deal they just signed with Turner. So the teams know they're going to be making a certain amount, right? So there's some of that still there. In the NFL, the media rights deal and that landscape that's out there with all the digital options, whether it's Amazon, Apple, you know, Alphabet, all that deal, there are so many options there that you think they're going to find places to get revenue that's equal to what they have. So maybe the cap goes down because we don't have people in the building, and it's a big deal for this year. You're going to lose a lot of money per team, a lot of money. And the cap will come down, but it'll still be high. The one where I think it is really going to change the landscape for a generation is college sports.
Right.
And then the multiplier, keep talking about multipliers, the multiplier there now is athletes finding their voice. I encourage people to read that Pac-12 article that's out there through Players Tribune. Players, I don't agree with everything the players have said. I think they kind of forgot along the way that they do receive a scholarship to go to college. It's worth a lot of money. Ask anybody who pays student loans. You got to factor that into the athletics part of it. But I do think that the football and basketball folks are saying, hey, we bring in all the money. Why don't we get more of this? Why are we building slides in these football facilities? Why are coaches getting $6, $7 million? And I think there's going to be a balancing and a reckoning of college athletics that, in my opinion, will trim the number of teams that are out there. I mean, teams that each school offers. And I also think it's going to push the Power Five to get as close as possible to separate out from everybody else. Because there's too much revenue at stake. And if they can play all amongst themselves, and Big Ten Network has more inventory with just Big Ten games, they might do it. I hope it doesn't totally change the structure, but I that's the one where I think the money is really going to change the whole game.
Take us inside your world here. What is it like to broadcast a hockey game in Connecticut when it's going on somewhere else? Is hockey the hardest sport to do, especially from a distance?
If you want to text me after the first period tomorrow morning about 11:40 your time, I'll answer because I'm 53. I've done this this is my 30 something year in sports, 33rd year maybe. This is the first. What I'm going to do tomorrow morning at 11 your time, I've never done before. I've never sat in a booth and I've only called 5 hockey games. You know, it's just like all hands on deck here at this point. So I'm happy to help out. I'm thrilled for the opportunity and the challenge. Thank God I've got Edzo across the glass from me. I just kind of look over to Edzo and just, you know, hey, my luck, the Hawks and Oilers are going to go 3 overtimes tonight. Edzo's going to be on like 4 hours sleep and like sipping coffee all morning trying to stay awake. But I don't know. I popped in a little bit just to look at the setup in the booth, but you know, it's odd. There's no coach to talk to before the game. You know, so you're watching every Zoom interview that the league is providing, and you're listening to every question, and you're just trying to do that. And you just can't see things that you normally see. You glance away from the puck just to see line change, penalty back behind the play, those types of things, and you'll miss it. Now, everyone has adjusted and done their best. There's no doubt that the quality of what you do will be different because you're not in the building and you can't observe the 100 things you get from the time you get in the building to the time the red light goes on. But that's okay. You know, we'll figure it out. Nobody's complaining. People are sitting back, and if they're watching the game, they want to hear best we can do. So we'll give them best we can do. But do text me at 11:40 and let me know.
You don't want to hear from me in the middle of a game. I mean, geez.
Let me know if I'm awful. You just tell me, hey, you suck. Get off the air. That's fine.
Don't ask Sylvie to be blunt and honest with you. You don't want that. You don't want that text, Mike. Trust me.
Or you know what? Just text Edzo and just say, hey, yeah. Off sports. Rico's yeah. Awful right now.
Pick him up already. Yeah. That's exactly. Awesome. And then before we let you go, we always have to ask you a bad Bears quarterback question.
Yeah,
so who
yeah,
do you
yeah.
got? You got Foles or you got Trubisky?
Tyler Bray is not an option.
Are you sure? And I won't say the six-letter word, Cutler. I think Trubisky only because this is going to be really hard. I mean, you've got you're really going to be grading in these practices that are going to be different and this created atmosphere. So if the competition makes Mitch play as best as possible, familiarity with everything around, and I know Foles is a pro and probably in his sleep can do stuff that other guys can't because of his experience, but I'm going to lean that I would go with Trubisky and give him the shot out of the gate at this point just because of the familiarity. I mean, no preseason games. We always say, you know, great, some of the worst football. That's got to hurt some of these guys who are trying to win jobs, and you would think this is one of those situations. But let's hope we have a week one where I can say I was wrong and Foles runs out there. You know, let's just hope that we get a season started.
I was just going to say, in hockey talk, I think you just missed an open net right there because most people think it's going to be Nick Foles. But that's okay. I mean, I
understand that. But you know what? I got over the center ice line, so I didn't ice the puck,
good.
Which is always the worst thing when it's an empty net in the last minute. You're like, geez, come on, dude. Get over the red line. So are you guys fired up to stay up late and watch the Hawks tonight?
Of course.
Yes. I mean, I'm appreciating everything I can get at this point.
Yes, and how great is it, too? It's August. It's like a warm summer night, and usually, you know, like when your baseball team goes on the West Coast, you're like, oh, good. I can kind of hang out till like 12 o'clock. I don't have to be up as early in the morning. This is great. Now you get it with the Hawks and a hockey play, like hockey playoff overtime tonight is ideal because who has to go anywhere in the morning?
Yeah, and at my age, too, like 9:30 is when I first get up out of bed to go to the bathroom for the first time at night. So I just turn the game on right as I'm on my way to the restroom.
Think about what happens in overtime. That'll be the second time you get up at night. That's
no
perfect.
Doubt. No doubt.
Oh, that's too funny.
Mike, you're the best. Thanks for always picking up the phone for us. We'll be watching
Mike.
Tomorrow and critiquing, okay?
I look forward to your text, Sylvie. And just
no, you don't.
I do. Hey, big virtual hug from here, man. We're just
Thank
always
you.
Thinking of you. And just all the best, brother.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks,
guys.
Mike.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
There you go. I'm telling you, two of the guys, the two dudes doing that game too tomorrow, Mike Tirico and Eddie Olczyk, could be like two of the nicest guys nationally in the world.
Amen to that.
You know, they're as big as they get.
And as talented as it gets, too.
And they're as nice. Like, we always say that about Barkley. Tirico's the real deal. Eddie Olczyk, we know, Chicago knows, is the real deal. But I got to ask this about Hawks fans. Are they about to get their nightmare situation come true? There could be some information that's out there currently that says, yes, the worst case scenario could be true for the Blackhawks. We'll bring you that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, so all Hawks fans want their team to win, or, you know, there are some who think they don't have a chance to win the Cup, so maybe they want them to lose this series and to get have the 12.5% chance to get the number one pick. But I do believe that even if you're divided on that, in the big, big picture, most Hawks fans want Stan Bowman gone. That you already got rid of McDonough, and if you got rid of John McDonough, Stan Bowman certainly hasn't...
Got rid of Q.
Yeah, you got rid of Q, you got rid of McDonough. To those two guys, that should be the easiest call to get rid of Stan. But today, Danny Wirtz, who is acting as the president of the team currently, did a podcast for NBC Sports Chicago. And is the question included on this, Meller? Or
no, it is not.
Okay, so the question posed to Danny Wirtz, who is basically running the team right now, he is the John McDonough. I know a lot can change between now and the start of next season, but do you expect Stan and Jeremy Colleton to be back with the team next season?
First off, as it relates to coaching, that's going to be Stan's call, and that is important that, you know, as the leader of the hockey operations, that he is really making those calls. And I think he has a lot of confidence in Jeremy right now. And we're really starting to see how, you know, his approach is you know, you have to give these things time. You have to let folks like that, you know, implement their system and see that buy-in build as it goes on. And I think you've seen a system that when played properly, like on Saturday, clearly has some great results and gets the most out of our team. So, you know, that's obviously Stan's decision. You know, we believe in Stan and are committed to him. He has a multi-year contract, and we're gonna obviously support that. So we feel really good about that, you know, heading into next season.
So did Danny Wirtz just tell us, Waddle, that Stan Bowman is going to remain in charge of hockey ops?
Sounded like it.
We believe in Stan, and we are committed to him. He has a multi-year contract, and we're going to obviously support that. And that, to me, like, most Hawks fans I know, like we just broke down with Q and with McDonough, that this could be the biggest, if they do have a little bit of success, even if they do, a lot of Hawks fans still want Bowman gone. And they think that it's like false hope with Bowman still running the team.
Well, I mean, I wonder how important money is to all of these teams in the era of COVID. Where, like, look, it sounds a lot like the Bulls. When people say, well, the Bulls don't want to fire Jim Boylan, obviously it's a coach, not a front office guy, and then pay somebody else. Well, all these teams are worth billions of dollars. I would hope that these are not decisions that are being made for financial reasons, despite the fact that revenues will not be what they once were or what they were projected to be. So,
yeah, I thought for sure there would be a new guy hired. He would hire a director of hockey ops, and Stan would be gone. But now, look, people may remind me who follow the Hawks that Scott Powers did an interview with Rocky, and Rocky, right before the stop or right at the beginning of the stop, made a commitment to John McDonough. And then, like, right, a month later, right, everything right. changed. So things could change. It could be the dreaded vote of confidence. But the way he laid that out, it sure sounded like Stan Bowman's going to be running hockey ops for a while to come. Again, that's from NBC Sports Chicago.
He could have easily dodged the question and just kind of talked over it or around it.
Right, saying that, look, I'm not even going to be running the team, and maybe he is. A lot of people believe Danny Wirtz will be running the team, and this isn't like some interim thing. But, yes, he could have said, look, we're in a playoff series right now. Everything we handle in the offseason will be handled in the offseason.
Right, hey, we got our hands full with Edmonton right now, you know, so... I'm a little surprised, to say the least.
So that is, I'm sure if you're a Hawks fan, at least the people that we've talked to fan-wise, that is not good news. And, like, the difference between Jim Boylan and Stan Bowman is still huge. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boylan hasn't won anything. Bowman's won cups.
Sure.
But still, Hawks fans are at the end of their patience with Bowman. So
my comparison was strictly about money as well.
Right,
like,
right,
these
no.
days.
Yeah, and it's what we just talked about with Tirico with the new age of money with COVID going forward. 312-332-3776 if you want to react to that. A lot to react to, the good, the bad, the dirty. I've got a big bad for the commissioner of baseball. That's all coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
really cool to be watching hockey and basketball in the afternoon on a Monday.
The hockey's been a little chippy in spots, too, hasn't it?
Wasn't
coming
there
back?
A fight over the weekend?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's very few fights in playoff hockey these days,
isn't
there?
There was a fight in the Rangers game, the Rangers-Hurricanes game, like 2 minutes into the game.
Right.
They dropped the gloves.
Chippy wasn't there hockey. Blood?
There was a blood in a couple of a couple of games.
That's not social distancing.
Yeah, it's probably not the best way to handle COVID.
Yeah. Let's get into the good, the bad, the dirty, our sports weekend recap.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
I will go around the room with Meller and Abdallah as well. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing that we perceive as dirty from the weekend. Waddle, what was your good?
I thought the NBA action was fantastic yesterday. And it looks like everybody is up to speed. I thought the outcome of the Celtics Trailblazers game was very exciting, and then last night the Rockets Bucks game was high, you know, tension. The return of the NBA. I mean, I expected there to be a bit of a dip in some of the levels of play, and there have been examples of that. But overall, I think it's been fantastic.
It has been, yes. And the Milwaukee blew a lead yesterday.
Yeah,
Celtics blew a huge lead, but then they held on to win. So it was definitely a fun weekend. I'm going to go with, if I narrow it down, to my team. And there was a lot of good to pick from yesterday. But it's that Cubs starting pitching. And it's still a question mark with John Lester getting up in age, with Q on the shelf with an injury. So, like, how long will Chatwood look great? He's looked great so far two times through. Yu Darvish, after a bad first start, looked really, really good. You know, Kyle Hendricks had that great first start. The Cubs starting pitching, at least giving them innings in the beginning, has put them in really good shape so far. So my good goes to the Cubs starting pitching. Meller, Abdallah, what do you guys have?
Boys, keeping it on the hockey theme here, I thought what Matt Dumba said at the beginning of the Hawks game when he came out and gave the pregame speech between the Blackhawks and the Oilers about racial inequality was really something special. So I have it for you here. If you missed it, I thought this was an excellent job by Matt Dumba of the Minnesota Wild and just what has gone on in our country over the last few months.
During this pandemic, something unexpected but long overdue occurred. The world woke up to the existence of systematic racism and how deeply rooted it is within our society. For those unaffected by systematic racism or unaware, I'm sure that some of you believe that this topic has garnered too much attention during the last couple months. But let me assure you, it is not. Racism is a man-made creation, and all it does is deteriorate from our collective prosperity. Racism is everywhere. Racism is everywhere. And we need to fight against it. On behalf of the NHL and the Hockey Diversity Alliance, we vow and promise to stand up for justice and fight for what is right. I know firsthand, as a minority playing the great game of hockey, the unexplainable and difficult challenges that come with it. The Hockey Diversity Alliance and the NHL want kids to feel safe, comfortable, and free-minded every time they enter an arena. We will fight against injustice and fight for what is right. I hope this inspires a new generation of hockey players and hockey fans. Because Black Lives Matter. Breonna Taylor's life matters. Hockey is a great game, but it could be a whole lot greater. And it starts with all of us.
That well said by a player to go out there and give that speech at the beginning of a nationally televised game, the Hawks and Oilers, we saw firsthand. So well done by Matt Dumba.
NHL is going to honor Sam Acho as well, who we talked to a couple weeks ago for doing all that great work of the former Bear. They flashed on the screen like numerous people throughout different communities across the country who have done great work of them. They're going to feature the work that they've done, and Sam Acho was one of them.
Nice.
Abdallah, what's your good?
My good, guys, goes to what Mike Tirico mentioned a little bit ago, the Pac-12 players getting together and putting together, like,
they say it's a list of demands. I feel like they use the wrong wording, but I like that the players are saying, hey, look, you want us to come together so you can continue to keep making millions, if not billions of dollars, because of us and because of the product we put on TV. We want a few things. We want to make sure we're safe. We're not signing your dumb waivers, your dumb Corona waivers. We're going to, you know, we want better, we want facilities, but we don't need a nap chamber for each player. We, you know, like Dabo Swinney doesn't need another $5 million bonus if he makes the national championship game on top of his $12 million salary or whatever it is. You know, use that money to fund other sports that are going to go away because of that. Use the money more wisely. And I think that it's good that college athletes realize that they have power now and they could just decide, hey, guess what? We're not playing. And then what are you going to put on TV? And yeah, it's good. That's my good.
Who was the Northwestern player who was a man ahead of his time who was trying to start that players union? The
quarterback. It was a quarterback.
Yeah, I remember this from a few years ago.
He was way ahead of his time, you know, and now all these college players are
unionized. They tried to unionize college
sports. They're finding their voice now. They're, you know, they're doing what he brought up, and a lot of people thought he was just a squeaky wheel at the time. But a man ahead of his
time.
Kane Coulter. There you go. Waddle, what's your bad?
I sprayed a hornet's nest with a hose yesterday.
So you but that didn't kill them.
No, it just made them pissed off and they came at me. So I wasn't good. That really wasn't my bad. That was one of my bads. But
why'd you do that? You're usually good with that stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I tried to throw a soccer ball at it, but it's sitting up high in the eave of house, the roof. So
there's a video of a guy on TMZ who took down a hornet's nest with his bare hands, crushed it in his palm, and then put it in his mouth and chewed it up.
Yeah, tougher man than me. I just used a hose to try to spray it, and it was not effective. My real bad was a lot of the strategy that I saw yesterday firsthand in extra innings in the Pirates. Boy, that was – I don't understand. Like the caller he called earlier and said, why aren't people putting guys on – like, you just intentional walk, go to first base. I don't understand.
Like, Javi, you never thought should have been allowed to hit.
If I'm, you know, the SIU guy that is now the Pirates manager, I don't know what that was all about. Like, I think managers right now just haven't found their groove when it comes to the extra inning strategy. But that, to me, was, like, crazy bad. Bad strategy in baseball.
Okay, we'll take it, though, as a Cubs fan.
Of course.
My bad is Rob Manfred. You know, you always like to say, Waddle, when we bring up things about Adam Silver, that, that was the common sense choice. That seemed to be an easy decision, but sometimes the easiest thing to do isn't done. And Rob Manfred, in the wake of everything going on, continually divides instead of uniting the players and the owners. And let me give you an example of the NHL. The NHL and their commissioner used to be viewed as bad and really run poorly. But they even got an agreement done on like a 4-year labor situation, and they've done the hub cities the right way, and they've thought on the fly, and like Tirico said, originally they thought an American city would get it. They went with two Canadian cities. Rob Manfred, understandably, is frustrated with some players. If Cardinals did go to a casino, and if all teams aren't taking all the situation seriously, get them on a Zoom call and get everyone together and unite them. But to publicly come out and to tell a reporter, our guys better get in shape, I'm not a quitter. You know, to blame the players. You've got to do this as a team. And he continually divides. Divide, divide, divide. And Rob Manfred has been the opposite of a beacon of hope for Major League Baseball throughout the entire thing. From the negotiations to everything he said during this, he continues to trip all over himself. And my bad goes out to Rob Manfred once again.
Stay out of the casino, Cardinals.
Yeah, but do you need to say that publicly? Do you need to say, well, I'm not a quitter? You know, the players are, majority-wise, for the most part, putting their health on the line to play a sport. They're doing the best thing they can. Anthony Rizzo is sitting in that clubhouse in Cincinnati waiting to find out if the game's rained out or not when there is no window to play. Does Rob Manfred need to do as a group lump everyone together? Or can he get on a Zoom call and tell the players, look, the majority of you guys are doing awesome. But those of you who are going out on the road and still need to go to a casino or a bar, you're going to bring this whole thing down. And you don't understand how fragile this house of cards is. Like, isn't there a way to do this as a commissioner that you can unite everyone together? The answer is yes.
Okay.
Why does he continue to fight with them?
I don't know why baseball continues to do what they do in terms of their negotiation stuff. Like you said, the NHL has found a way to find common ground.
Well, now I'm with you, Sylvie. Like, what would he be quitting anyway? Because, like you said, he's not the one playing. What tough guy attitude?
I think that there's a lot of guys that would like to see Rob Manfred quit as the commissioner.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe the Mets just stole something from Rob Manfred's playbook when they released a statement yesterday before their game started that they were unaware of the whereabouts of Yoenis Cespedes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my mind immediately went to the worst possible scenario when a team releases a statement that we're unaware of our players' whereabouts. Like, you get concerned.
That would kind of panic the family, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it turns out that Yoenis Cespedes was opting out of the season because his mother, who is sick, and in light of all the outbreaks that are taking place now amongst baseball teams, kind of changed his calculus for the season. So he no longer thinks it's in his best interest to go about playing the game. Now, there's also reports that several Mets players were aware before Sunday's game that Cespedes was going to opt out of the season, and they thought that the Mets management might be aware that this was actually the case.
Yes. I read a lot of articles, Meller, that from New York, they think this was another thing that the Mets management screwed up.
Bingo. So the Mets just continually tend to step in it whenever they try and...
Here comes A-Rod. He's going to solve it all when he buys that team.
Urlacher, too.
Yeah.
So nevertheless, the Mets and their handling of the way one of their players was opting out of the season when they tried to publicly shame him, essentially, on the day of the game was a pretty asinine way to handle it.
Abdallah, what is your bad?
My bad. There was a report this weekend that the Big Ten was going to just not play college football this year. And now I'm reading a report that the Big Ten is expected to unveil its 2020 schedule tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't think that there should be this universal either we all play or none of us play type of thing with the Big Ten or the SEC or anything. Like if... Yeah, I keep saying Rutgers. If Rutgers can't play, too bad, so sad.
What if Ohio State can't play?
Too bad, so sad.
Move the drill.
Too bad, so sad. If you can get a few teams that in a region that's close to each other that can play.
All we need is a few good men.
All we need is a few good teams, even some mediocre teams as well. Even get rid of the conferences. How about this year? No conferences. And you can just play teams in your area to
limit
travel.
You just want to see ball.
I just want to see ball, man.
We all do.
I want football.
Football!
And if teams can make it work and other teams, it goes back to the baseball team. The baseball scenario. If Rutgers isn't taking it seriously, well then guess what, Rutgers? You don't get to play football this year. If Illinois is taking it seriously, come on down, Lovie Smith. I know you shaved. Grow that beard back. You're coming on in.
They just had some test results, didn't they, in Illinois? Was I watching?
Yeah, I saw Shannon Ryan tweeted that out. We could pay that off. I could give you that information coming up. Also, our dirties, all that coming up next, plus Jesse Rogers at 5 o'clock.
Hey, look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we continue our good, the bad, the dirty as we look through the sports weekend or anything else we may have experienced. Maybe he took a hose out to a hornet's nest after using a soccer ball.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Call the professionals.
Yes. Yes. Did you get
bees
stung?
I have bees everywhere in my house now. I did not, thankfully, but they came after me like it was, they were pissed. They were pissed. Rightfully so.
I know.
Rightfully so. I don't blame the bees. I blame myself. But it was bad. It was just like, it was a whole squadron coming at me.
And you had a good crop over the weekend, too? You were pulling peppers?
Oh, yeah. I got peppers everywhere.
Was pulling peppers.
Yeah. I got some watermelon that is starting to grow, starting to mature. My cucumber stash is just awful this year.
Really?
Yeah, I had a bad cucumber.
Too hot
year.
For cucumbers?
No, I think my planting was bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your dirty?
My dirty is I feel dirty that like my favorite baseball team won a doubleheader seven inning beer league softball event in Detroit this weekend. Like they went into Detroit, they finally got a chance to play because the weather was bad, and they won two games. It took both ends of the doubleheader, but both games were seven innings, and it didn't even feel like a real game.
But wouldn't it feel worse if you lost both games?
No doubt. That's why I said I feel dirty that, like, I don't feel better about them winning two games. Like, this seven-inning doubleheader thing is just weird.
You don't like it, huh?
I'm not a fan right now.
Because Gene Greco and Ravitch were both proponents of seven-inning baseball games.
Well, they're older than me. I'm getting to be old, but I'm not there yet.
All right. My dirty is this. I like David Ross a lot. David Ross is a World Series hero. David Ross wears the mask the entire game. You know, he really good. It seems like David Ross plays the best players almost every game. Yesterday he played Josh Fegley. But for the most part, it gives the Cubs the best chance to win. But there's this growing narrative amongst Cubs fans that, like, he is awesome and Joe Maddon sucked. And I got to remind you guys of a couple things. David Ross has only managed nine games, so let's wait to see all these habits. I like David Ross so far, too. But to discredit anything that Joe Maddon has done in his 5 years here when he brought the team four straight times to the postseason, took them a year early to the NLCS, this is preposterous.
Take that.
Like yeah, if Cap brought that today, I don't know what like. And Cap and I bonded recently, but that's just an asinine take. And there are other people who believe this, too, that, like, Joe Maddon was the evil guy. Joe Maddon did so much good here. And to now discredit him after nine COVID games.
That team went to 3 of 4 NLCSs and won a World Series.
Yes.
Joe gets some credit for that.
Everybody. Joe was a part of the whole culture change. Stupid. What is your guy's dirty?
Boys, I'm going to go ahead and give the Seattle Mariners a bit of a dirty here this weekend as they chose to use a Steve Bartman cutout in their left field wall near the pole that would like lean over. So I would say
that's bad.
It was good placement. I appreciate the effort.
Like, was it where the Bartman seat would be in there?
It wasn't in the front row, but, like, to be honest, there's only a couple of pictures that are around the internet, so I don't know what
that's
where else.
Funny.
But I do like that they put it in a strategic position that would be right along the left field pole. So
dirty
funny. Yes.
Why do you have to have leave the guy alone already?
What do you mean, leave him alone?
Leave him alone. And, Steve, when you're ready to do the interview, you know the Waddle and Sylvie
always
place is.
Always has an angle, don't
you? Well, no. Look, this is one of Chicago's worst acts as a sports city was what the city did to Steve Bartman. You know that.
Yeah, the Louise,
you know how I feel about that.
The Louise
that.
Probably, you know,
well,
are
right.
on
I mean,
your
but,
list.
But that wasn't the city. Like, that was just two guys. What the city did to make Steve Bartman go into hiding was amongst the worst things we've ever done.
Thanks, Cubs fans.
It was awful. All right, then wrap us up, Abdallah.
My dog, Penny, as you guys all know, she only has three legs.
Yeah, Penny.
She was having some stomach issues yesterday, so she could not keep any food down, and it was dirty. And
smelly?
I would try to, like, beat her to it. So I would hear it start to happen, and I would try to move her onto the hardwood floor just so it was easier to clean up.
You could hear her stomach. You could hear her stomach.
Well, she would start to, like, you know, heave a little bit, and I was like, it's coming again. But it also just my wife casually reminded me that this is nothing compared to what happens when you have a child.
Yes.
Thus, the birth control for the weekend was done by my dog this time because
you can put a diaper on a kid.
Not that end.
Right, I find
you can't put a diaper on the front end.
That's true.
As a former dog owner and someone who is, like, has a phobia about puke, I had a much easier time cleaning up dog puke than kid puke.
Really?
Yes, much easier.
It was dirty.
Yeah.
That's puke's dirty.
Yeah, it is. Puke good way dirty. To end it. 2 minutes away, we will talk to Jesse Rogers. Will baseball get through all of this? Waddle had a great question earlier. How many games will teams have to play this year? Like, the Cardinals are missing all these games. What's that?
I was wondering whether or not I got credit for the great question because you referenced that I had a
only
great question.
Only when a guest says you had a great question.
Yeah, sorry, no, it's I'm not. Sorry, you don't sorry. Get credit. Okay. So Jesse Rogers will answer that question and much more in 2 short minutes.